Hello, and welcome to Peter Pan Man Dan, a podcast about fatherhood. I'm Dan, a screenwriter and first-time father, and these are my adventures. This episode is called COVID Complications and is about COVID making things even harder for us. I'm very superstitious. I generally realize that superstitions are dumb and don't actually move the needle on the outcome of anything, but I still believe in them. I mean, some people believe in even dumber shit, like pursuing their screenwriting dreams. Could you imagine being that stupid? Oh man. I'm mainly superstitious when it comes to my beloved Utah Jazz. As a kid, I embarrassingly rubbed a rabbit's foot every game up until I left for college. And I still get overly superstitious, despite now being a quote-unquote adult. I'm chill during the meaningless regular season, but when the playoffs hit, I turn into Robert De Niro's character in Silver Linings Playbook. I try to keep my superstitions to sports, but some of them have seeped into my regular life. For example, at the start of every month, I always try to remember to say, "Rabbit, rabbit," upon waking up in hopes that it brings me good luck. And it seems like it works. The months I remember to say it usually end up being better than the months that I don't. Who knows if that's actually true, though? Probably not. It's probably just a self-fulfilling prophecy where I think I've been awarded some good luck, so I act like it. Well, despite being absolutely exhausted from all the Theo care, I somehow remembered to say, "Rabbit, rabbit," as I woke up to start the new month. And it appeared to be working. It seemed to cast a good luck spell on Meredith, Theo, Maple, and me. Life felt like it was getting easier. Theo was doing as good as ever. He was a little stronger and more capable every day, less of an infant and more of a baby. He was sleeping a little bit more at night, and we were generally adjusting to just being tired all the time. It was our new normal. He had all the milk he wanted. Maple was slowly accepting him. His circumcision had healed, leaving the best penis in Santa Monica even better. And he was getting outside for some of that world-famous California sunshine, now that we had the stroller issue resolved. Hell, maybe he'd get a tan and be laying on the beach next to some babes soon. Don't get me wrong, caring for Theo was still complete and absolute hell. Just as we were figuring something out, Theo would change shit up on us. Then we'd have to learn a whole new skill. And he still wasn't reacting to my hilarious fart noises and funny faces. But he was starting to become more alert and was even trying to hold up his head on his own. He also started kicking his legs. He'd look at us with more charming wonderment and less disdain. The dude was doing so well, he'd probably make the cover of the next edition of Harvey Karp's Happiest Baby on the Block. He might even be the youngest baby to walk, and might be the first person to levitate. He'd be speaking three languages by 3 months, and probably even invent one of his own. "I think our child might be really advanced. He might even be a genius," I told Dr. Hamilton at his one-month checkup.
"Ha, yeah, I bet he is,"
said Dr. Hamilton with a warm smile. He probably didn't want to break it to us that the odds of our child actually being a genius were pretty small. We started accepting more of Meredith's parents' offers to help. After all, they had driven from New Jersey and rented an Airbnb for the summer so they could be here for support. At first, I was admittedly very possessive of Theo. I wanted to be there for every feeding, every stroller walk, every diaper change. Hell, I even wanted to be the first person he peed on. And I was. He urinated all over my Chris Farley t-shirt. What a dream come true. But as time went on, we needed the help. Meredith's mom in particular started to become a superstar. A third parent, really. When we were on our last leg, she started tapping in for us, almost like she was Hulk Hogan relieving Macho Man Randy Savage. She even offered to stay over and take the night shift one night. I felt guilty about it, like I was cheating on an exam or some shit. But I was so tired that I accepted. "Yeah, okay, that would be awesome," I said. And it was awesome. I pulled out the sofa bed in our guest room and grabbed Sweet Maple. I popped a melatonin, because if I was getting some sleep, I was gonna go deep, baby. And I got some rest. Meredith, unfortunately, still had to sleep next to Theo and her mom because she was breastfeeding. But she got more sleep as well. All in all, things were trending in the right direction. The dark hell clouds lingering over us seemed to be giving way to sunlight. That rabbit-rabbit good luck was paying off. But just as Theo was approaching his one-month birthday, the whole good luck train came to a screeching halt. It was a Sunday morning. We were starting our day with some coffee. Lots of it. I'm pretty sure half my body weight was coffee by now. We were letting Theo watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on Disney Plus. I'd eventually get him into better, edgier shows like Succession, The Wire, Breaking Bad, and Sopranos. But for now, he was a basic Mickey Mouse-loving bitch. Every Mickey Mouse Clubhouse episode ends with the hot dog song. When it would play, I'd get up and try to mimic Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Daisy, Donald, and Pluto's dance moves to entertain Theo and solidify my spot as the world's greatest dad. Sometimes Meredith would even join in. Theo would just look at us with even more confusion. "Isn't life hard enough without my dumb parents trying to be funny?" he'd imply with a look. As one of the episodes was about to end and I was beginning my hot dog song jig, Meredith turned to me and said, "Shit, I feel a little bit sick. Sore throat." Now, we were still in the middle of a pandemic. In fact, the new Delta variant was running rampant, even infecting people who were fully vaccinated in breakthrough cases. I had gotten both of my Moderna shots in the spring, but Meredith hadn't yet. By the time doctors and medical professionals had deemed it okay for pregnant women to receive the vaccine, she was already so far along that she didn't want to risk the side effects. The pregnancy had made her feel mildly shitty. The last thing she wanted to do was feel worse. I pushed her a little bit to get it, but I understood why she didn't want to. It was her choice. So I told her just to get the vaccine after Theo was born. After a month full of fatigue and general post-pushing a human life out of your body pain, she finally felt good enough to get it. She had an appointment scheduled for Monday, the next day. "Yeah, my throat is definitely sore," Meredith reiterated. "Shit, do you think it's COVID?" I asked her. "I mean, I doubt it. We've hardly been out," she said. "Well, better go get tested just in case," I said. "Ugh, yeah, I guess I should," Meredith said. So she did. I watched Theo while she was at an urgent care for a test. He dozed off right as Mickey and Co. were about to sing the hot dog song for the millionth time. So I clicked over to the movie Coda on Apple TV. All the sign language made it the perfect, quiet movie to watch in the presence of a sleeping baby. I was still trying to keep up with movies, sneaking them in 5 to 10 minute increments when I could. Not the ideal way to consume cinema, but you gotta do what you gotta do when you're no longer in Never Never Land. About an hour later, Meredith sent a text message. She had tested positive for COVID-19. I instantly went into panic mode. Needless to say, I shut off Coda. "Shit, where do you think you got it?" I texted. "I have no idea. The Delta variant is very contagious. Could have gotten it anywhere," she texted. I replayed the last week or so in my mind. We had mostly been trapped inside, but we had been out and about some. We had taken Theo on a couple of walks in a stroller, but it seemed very unlikely that we had contracted it outdoors. Meredith did get her hair done, wanting to feel some semblance of normalcy and try to reclaim her body. And when she was complaining about back pain from carrying around Theo all day, I had insisted that she go get a massage. I booked her one at a place called Cha Spa. Cha Spa wasn't exactly a shithole, but it was definitely shithole adjacent. It's the type of place where you might be able to talk your masseuse into a happy ending. My mom had also visited. She sensed that I needed a slight taste of normalcy, so she had taken me to go see Stillwater at the local AMC theater. It was the first movie I'd seen in theaters since the pandemic started. There was a chance that I had gotten it there and tracked it back home. Shit, if I got COVID from going to a fucking Matt Damon movie, I thought to myself. "I bet it was Cha Spa," I texted. It had to be them, right? I was already writing a Yelp review in my head. Great place to get a cheap massage and maybe a happy ending. But you also might get COVID. 4 out of 5 stars. "Who knows? All I know is I have it and we have to deal," Meredith replied. "Fucking Cha Spa," I wrote again. I didn't know what to do, so I put on a fresh N95 mask and started wiping our condo down with Clorox wipes while we waited for Meredith to return. As I cleaned, I thought of a plan. I figured Meredith should quarantine somewhere for the CDC recommended 10 days. She could take our guest room over, or her parents' Airbnb had an extra room. Or maybe she could get a cheap hotel. I could watch Thea with the help of her parents while she recovered. It would make this venture into hell even more hellish for me, but I could do it. Sometimes you have no choice but to buck up and do what you have to do. The one saving grace of the pandemic was that COVID appeared to not greatly affect children. The hope was that it would somehow completely dodge poor little Theo. That was my biggest concern, that he didn't get it. We wanted our precious little boy to stay as healthy as possible. I plucked Theo up and touched his forehead to see if he had a temperature or any symptoms of the disease. Luckily, he felt like his normal, delightful baby temperature. I gave him a little baby hug, hoping, praying that he stayed safe and protected somehow. "Thanks for watching after me. I love you so much, Dad," he implied. "Aw, thanks, buddy. I love you too," I said. Meredith came home and put on an N95 mask to match mine. I held Theo away from her, staying as far away as I could in a 1,000-square-foot apartment. I told her my plan. "So I'll watch Theo for the next 10 days so you can quarantine and recover," I said. "How is that possible? I need to breastfeed," Meredith said. Shit, I hadn't thought about breastfeeding. Theo was doing some bottles, but 80% of his milk intake was still coming from Meredith's chest. "Well, I can bring him into you and you can wear a mask while you breastfeed, maybe," I suggested. "I don't think that'll work. I mean, I'm his mom. He needs me," she said. Shit, I hadn't thought about how a baby needs his mom more than anything. "Let's just try my plan," I said. Well, my ingenious plan lasted about 10 minutes. While Meredith was taking some DayQuil and popping a few cough drops, Theo started to cry. I tried to soothe him, even doing the magical Dr. Hamilton hold. "Stop doing that fucking hold, he hates it," said Meredith as Theo amped up his crying to the next decibel. "He doesn't hate it. It works. Dr. Hamilton's YouTube video has over 55 million views," I tried to argue. But the hold didn't work. Nothing did. Theo wouldn't stop crying. He wanted his mom. Meredith started crying as well. Just give me my baby," she said. "No, you have COVID. We have to keep him safe," I said. "Dan, please, just give me my baby. He needs me. I'm wearing the mask," she said. I looked over her loving, tear-drenched face. I couldn't keep Theo from her, or her from Theo. I handed him over. Theo instantly stopped crying, latching on to Meredith. Back to safety. My plan was dumb from the get-go. There's just no way you can keep a newborn from his mother for 10 days, no matter what the CDC and Dr. Fauci recommends. And I couldn't leave Meredith to just quarantine with Theo. She needed my help. I needed to watch Theo as much as possible so she could hopefully get some rest and recover. So we just accepted that we were probably all going to get COVID and that the next week and a half in hell was going to be especially bad. So much for that whole rabbit bullshit. We called Dr. Hamilton's emergency line. We asked him what to do. He was surprisingly calm. I guess that's what makes him a great doctor. If he freaked out and shouted, "You're all gonna die!" that wouldn't have helped the situation much. He just said to monitor Theo closely and make sure he seemed to be breathing okay. I was obsessed with taking his temperature, but we only had one of those anal thermometers for babies. We asked him if we should check his temp. He said only if he seemed hot. There was no need to probe him with an anal thermometer if he didn't. We felt his forehead. It was still normal baby temperature. No anal probing necessary. Theo owes Dr. Hamilton a debt of gratitude for that. Overall, we felt much better after our chat. We were going to get through this in one piece. We hadn't been issued a death sentence. "We can do this," said Meredith. "Fucking cha spa," I said. Things continued to get worse over the next couple of days. Meredith developed what she called, quote, "the worst sore throat of her life." She was running a fever of over 100 degrees for several days, sweating through her pajamas at night. Poor thing, her body had been completely under assault for the last year. She just wanted to feel normal again, but now she had to deal with this. The good news was that Theo continued to not have a temperature, so the anal thermometer stayed out of his ass. A few nights in, he did begin to experience some nasal congestion when placed on his back in the bedside bassinet. He was fine when upright, so we'd spend most of the night holding him against our chests, trying our best to make sure we didn't nod off. "We're gonna get through this, buddy," I said.
I'm tired,
he implied. Me too, pal. Me too, I said. I felt terrible that we had put him in this situation. Our one job as parents was to keep him healthy, alive, safe, be his protectors. And we had let this disease into our house. Meredith should have held off on getting her hair done. I shouldn't have gone to that shitty Matt Damon movie. I shouldn't have insisted that she go get a massage. We should have stayed patient and continued playing it safe. We were letting Theo down. But what had happened, happened. You can't undo the past. We had to just get through the next 10 days or so and hope for the best. We ordered grocery delivery and stayed inside, away from the world. A couple of our neighbors noticed that I was wearing my intense N95 mask, taking Maple out for her sittin' shits. I told them the news. Word spread around our building like a contagious disease during a pandemic. Some freaked out, treating us like lepers, but most were just concerned. They knew we had a newborn at home, and that the timing for this was terrible. They offered to do diaper and grocery store runs for us. One generous neighbor baked us a bunch of brownies. Damn, we should get COVID more often, I joked while munching a delicious brownie. We did sneak out the back of our building a couple of times to walk over to Meredith's parents' Airbnb for a change of scenery, and so Meredith could nap in the extra bedroom. Despite both being over 60, her parents didn't seem too concerned about COVID since they were both vaccinated. The top priority was giving Theo the best care possible. And to get the best care, Meredith needed a rest. I tried my best to take over the nighttime duties until Meredith felt better. I fed him and held him against my chest if he got too nasally. But he still needed some of that sweet, sweet breast milk that, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't produce. So I had to wake Meredith up a few times during the night so Theo could chow down. Sorry I can't breastfeed him, I said. It's okay, she said. God, I sweat through the sheets again. Well, that's absolutely disgusting, I wanted to say. It's okay. We'll get through this, I really said. Meredith was starting to feel better by Thursday. She appeared to just have a mild case, thankfully. But that's when my nose started running like Forrest Gump. Despite getting the vaccine, I had a breakthrough case. I guess it was inevitable. I had been exposed to too much COVID for the vaccine to handle. I started to feel worse and worse as the day progressed. By Friday, I officially felt like shit. Taking care of a newborn is daunting. Doing it while you feel like ass is pure torture. The one thing you need when you're sick is rest. And the one thing that's impossible to get when you have a newborn is rest. I just wanted a day or two of lying around in my bed drinking tea and guzzling soup, watching other awful Matt Damon movies. But I couldn't. Meredith couldn't. I will admit, at this point, I was angry with Meredith for not just getting her vaccine while she was pregnant. I know I had signed off on her waiting till after Theo's birth to get it, but part of me thought that this whole thing was completely avoidable, and that we had unnecessarily upped the degree of difficulty in an already difficult situation. It was as if we had already been set on fire, but then were asked to juggle chainsaws while balancing on a unicycle. The worst part was that Theo wasn't getting the best care possible, and he knew it. He was a total grump about it. The delightful, charming baby he was turning into began to fade away. The hell demon started to take over again. There was now no way he was going to be on the cover of the latest edition of Carp's Happiest Baby on the Block. Meredith felt horrible about the whole thing, but that didn't keep me from turning back into Dickhead Dan. Why didn't you just get your fucking vaccine? I asked Meredith while I shoved a tissue up my nostril and popped some DayQuil of my own. Dan, I was pregnant. I didn't want to risk the side effects, said Meredith. This is worse than the side effects could have been, and now you're risking our baby's life, I dramatically retorted. Jesus Christ, we're going to be fine, said Meredith. Stop downplaying this. This is a big fucking deal, I said. These were dark days for me. I had pulled out of that initial, why did we do this baby thing to ourselves funk I felt in the first few weeks, and had actually started to experience a few glimmers of that magic and joy you feel as new parents. Things were getting better. I was beginning to understand why people did this multiple times. But in addition to the head cold, I felt some of the progress I had made in adjusting to our new reality was lost. It was as if James Franco's character in 127 Hours had finally gotten his arm freed, only to have another boulder tumble onto his other arm. We felt so utterly alone. We had gone through a year and a half of solitude because of the pandemic. Then, just when things were lightening up some and the world was coming back to life, we had Theo, kicking us off into a second period of seclusion. There's obviously an outpouring of joy and love sent your way when a child is born, but that fades. People want to give you space, time to bond, and let you figure out how to change diapers. Plus, babies don't have all their vaccines, so you're not supposed to expose them to many people. You're in isolation, and now we were imprisoned in our condo until we were all feeling better. It felt like it would never end. Would regular life ever return? At least we had those brownies. During my dark period, one of my best friends and a maker of great goofs about things like jerking off texted to check in. He had two kids under three, so he was well-versed in the journey through baby hell. "How are baby days going, man? Been meaning to check in. Figured you were up to your eyes on all sorts of diaper poop," he wrote. "Man, babies really fucking suck, in my opinion. We have COVID. Been a tough month. Everyone says it gets easier, though," I bluntly wrote, taking a real extreme position. "Fuck, man, yeah, I feel ya. They're really hard and overall pretty sucky. Leave you sleepless and worried and don't provide much in return. Sorry to hear you're sick, too. It's fucking rough, man. Everyone's all happy for you when you say you're having a baby. But deep down, we're all like, ah, fuck, they're heading into some rough shit. But for reals, it does get easier, and then fun, then awesome. So much so that after about 2 years, we forgot how hard it was, then did it all over again. But yeah, try to remember that you'll get through this. It's gonna suck for the foreseeable future, but it will get better. Hang in there, man. Try to get some sleep and maybe jack off a few times," he said. I was greatly comforted by these words, right down to the jack-off joke. It's nice to remember that you're not the first person to go through hell, even if it feels like it. And he was right. We had to just get through this. Then it would get easier, then fun, then awesome. By Saturday night, I felt too sick to even get up during the night. Meredith tried shaking me awake so I could help change Theo's diaper, then rock him to sleep on my chest. But I straight up told her that I couldn't physically do it. I needed one good night's rest, or I was probably going to die of COVID. The night's rest seemed to work. By mid-Sunday, I miraculously started to feel almost completely back to normal. I had escaped the COVID nightmare with nothing more than a two-day cold. Meredith had gotten approximately 10 times sicker than I had, so I guess you could say that that's what the vaccine ultimately does. It helps you get about 10 times less sick if you happen to catch COVID. Just as we were getting better, Meredith's parents got it. They had mild cases, but more severe than mine. I guess I have superior genes and am probably going to live forever? But our help was now sick. After a few days of feeling a little bit better, I noticed that I had lost my sense of taste and smell. It happened when Meredith was out for a walk with Theo and I was back at the condo cleaning the place like it was the epicenter of the bubonic plague. I soon realized that I couldn't smell any of the usually pungent cleaning supplies. I then went to the fridge, pulled a brownie out, popped it in my mouth. Nothing. Meredith and her parents confirmed that they too had lost their sense of taste and smell. So we were a smellless, tasteless bunch. And don't worry, we made plenty of jokes about how it was actually good because now we couldn't smell Theo's diaper shits. "Yeah, and you can't smell any of my farts," I said. "You've been farting?" Meredith said. "You'll never know," I joked. "Thank God. See? Some perks to COVID," goofed Meredith. "Yeah, and I've been eating healthier because I can't taste anything," I said. "Me too. Maybe I'll lose the rest of the pregnancy weight," she said. "God, I do miss those brownies, though," I said as I pushed out a fart. After 10 days, we were completely without symptoms, minus not being able to taste or smell farts. Meredith's sore throat was no more. Theo's nighttime congestion was gone. My nose stopped running. And Meredith's parents started to feel better, too. Our quarantine period had officially ended. Meredith got her vaccine as soon as she could. Our trip through an even deeper, darker part of hell was now over. We were back to just regular hell. I remembered back to the rabbit bullshit at the start of the month, and then back to thinking that we had gotten incredibly unlucky by contracting COVID at the worst possible time. But truth be told, it could have been much worse. Thankfully, it had stayed away from our lungs. It basically just gave us bad colds and even more exhaustion. COVID has destroyed many lives, taken many loved ones from many people. Too many people had to say goodbye to their grandma or their grandpa, mom, dad, brother, sister, niece, nephew, cousin, aunt, uncle, or friend. We just had to sit inside and hang out with our new little miracle boy for some extra time, all while eating brownies and making fart jokes. Sure, it had undoubtedly made things tougher on us for a few days and set us back a little, but we were ultimately lucky. The feeling that Theo was more of a miracle and less of a hell demon started to return. He started kicking his legs a little bit again. He looked up at us with charming wonderment instead of disdain again. We even started dancing to the hot dog song again. We were getting back on track after our unfortunate detour. Once we were in the clear, we went outside for a stroller walk. Maple was in the bottom. Theo laid in his bassinet attachment, looking up at the palm trees reaching towards the sunny, cloudless sky like they might grow forever. I was still wearing an N95 mask everywhere, but then it hit me. I didn't need to be as scared of COVID anymore. I'd spent the last year and a half terrified that I'd get it, that Meredith would get it, that Theo would get it. Well, we had, and we were okay. And now, we all had our vaccines. So, we were super immune to the disease, bulletproof, invincible, free, back to our path towards living forever. I mean, we'd obviously still be careful so we didn't pass it to higher risk people. We wouldn't go around making out with old people or licking railings at Disneyland like the good old pre-pandemic days. But we could relax a bit. I reached up, lowered the mask off my face, and took a breath of fresh air. "Well, what do you want to do now that we're all better and super immune to COVID?" asked Meredith. I looked at her and smiled. "I don't know. Maybe we go to Cha Spa?" This has been Peter Pan Man Dan, a Mangano Movies and Media podcast. Thanks for listening. On the next episode of Peter Pan Man Dan, I use an old drinking game to help Meredith and I appreciate each other more. Talk to you then.